I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Sophia, and I just want to give a brief testimony about how I was born. So I was born at 5 months and I weighed 1 pound, and I was in the hospital like all my life. I was on oxygen tank. I was hooked up to these machines, and the doctor told me I was not gonna walk, talk. I was not gonna live, and I played basketball in high school. I ran track, and now I'm in college. I'm a photographer. And I had my birthday just passed. I had it recently, and I just turned 24. So I owe it to God, and I'm here today, and I thank God for keeping me alive, and, you know.
Oh, amen. What a powerful testimony. Amen. Like, it doesn't matter what the doctor has said. Amen. Jesus can change it all. Amen. Oh, it's a powerful testimony. Amen. Shall we put our hands together for Amma, Sister Amma, to come and give her testimony? Amen. Oh, encourage them as they come. Amen. Clap for them. Wow.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Amma, for those that don't know me. Wow. I want to give a brief testimony on basically like my whole job application process. Wow. I finished my master's officially in May, but I had an internship and a 40-page write-up due at the end of August. So I was applying to jobs during the summer just because I didn't want to have like too much of a gap between finishing and starting, and I had about 2 to 3 offers. The one that I really wanted me to start working about two weeks before my write-up was due, which I wouldn't be able to do because it's like all day, just all training. So I told them that I wouldn't be able to do it, but if they could wait for 2 weeks, I could start. They rescinded the offer. So now I had no job offers, and I became pretty sad, but then I was like, okay, I'll just start applying again and just seeing how this goes. I think about a week or two after I finished my 40-page write-up, they reached out to me again and gave me another offer, and this offer was a little better than the first because of the flexibility, and especially with what I'm learning, like it's all medical school related, and which is what like my final destination is. So I was able to start that job, and I just finished my first week of training, and I just wanted to... and I just wanted to thank the church and thank everyone for their encouragement and their prayers, because it really means a lot. And thank God, of course.
Oh, amen. It's a powerful testimony. Amen. All things work together. Amen. For the good. Whatever door has been closed in your life, God will open another one. Amen. Oh, do you believe it? Amen. Put your hands together as we welcome Jean-Jacques to give his powerful testimony.
Amen. Well, my name is Jean-Jacques, and I would like to give a testimony on how God healed my father. You know, my father went through like 2 major surgeries within 2 years, and the last one was around his backbone. So he was in continuous pain for days. You know, sometimes he could be in bed all day long, not talking, not eating. And one day, my mom called me, and she said, we should get ready for the worst. Like, if she calls me one day and my dad is gone, I shouldn't be surprised. So I was like, okay. So I called Apostle, and we prayed together. I explained to him the situation, and we prayed together. And he asked me to call my father time to time and pray with him. So I was calling him, and one day I called him. I prayed with him, and I took the communion, and I was playing Bishop Podcast, you know, the last part where he blessed the communion, and he speak blessing. So I was doing that over and over, and every time I had to take communion, I took two. So I said, one for me, one for my dad. Wow. And I was just taking. And I said, okay, I read in the Bible, Jesus healed people from afar, so I don't need to be there. I don't need to touch him, but I believe. So I was going to work, and my mom called me one day, and she said, like, your father wants to talk to you. I was like, what? I mean, he should be in bed. Like, I didn't hear from him for a long time. So he took the phone and he said, okay, how are you and all that. And while we were talking, I even forgot that he was in pain. I said, hey, but you should be like in bed. I said, oh, no. I don't know if God healed me, but I don't feel any pain anymore. I spent weeks without feeling pain, and I can sleep like a baby now. So I'd like just to thank God and thank Bishop for his prayers, his prayers, and thank Apostle for praying for my dad. Thank God. Amen.
Oh, amen. By a prophet, amen. The Lord will also preserve you and your family, amen, and keep you, amen. Oh, put your hands together for the Lord. It's a powerful testimony, amen. I see you receiving your miracle, amen.
Everyone goes through trying times, but joy comes in the morning. And even when it seems hard to find, He brings peace for you and me. Be thankful for everything and in everything. Count it all joy, count it all joy, even when it seems so hard to know He'll never give you more than you can handle. The enemy may come and may try take away our gladness, and even when it seems that He's won, we have to claim the victory. Give praises for everything and in everything. You've got to count it all joy. Joy, even when
Amen.
Oh, amen. Now the time we have all been waiting for. Amen. Oh, are you ready? Amen. Are you excited? Amen. Our Father is in the house. Oh, shall we rise to our feet? And with Jesus' joy, shall we welcome the most anointed preacher.
Blessing. Amen. Amen. We thank God for another Sunday morning. Amen. And thank Him for the opportunity to be in church. Wow. It's a blessing to have a church. Yeah. A church is a very important inclusion, yeah, you know, to your life. And it's a blessing when you have a good one. Yeah. Amen. Amen. See, it's like you can eat and still live, yeah, but the food is not nice. Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying? But it's a blessing to like what you're eating.
That's right.
What do you think?
Yeah.
That's the whole purpose of the tongue.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's to give you an ability to taste what you're eating,
that's right,
and to enjoy it such that you want to do it again.
That's right.
Do you see? So God is gracious and has blessed us with this wonderful church. Let us pray before you sit down. Father, we thank you so much for today. And thank you for the opportunity to be in service. Thank you, Lord, for what you have in store for us. Thank you, O God, for moving us on to greater things. Thank you for a greater future. Thank you for a room full of people.
Amen.
Thank you for growth.
That's right.
Thank you for increase. Thank you for abundance.
Yes.
And thank you for your blessing.
Yes.
We ask, O God, that you will open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law,
yes,
this morning. Ask your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Well, put your hands together for the Lord again, and you may be seated. Amen. Well, what a blessing again to be here. I was away for a couple of Sundays, and I missed you more. Amen. But it's good to be back home. Amen. And especially that you're still here. Amen.
Amen.
So we thank God. I bring you greetings from Bishop.
Wow.
Our father, our pastor, our prophet,
that's
our
right,
teacher, and someone who has been so many things to all of us and continues to be. Amen. And this past week, we were in, you know, I was away in Ghana first meeting, and then from there we came to Paris for this Give Thyself Holy conference. Give Thyself Holy is a conference for pastors and church leaders and serious people in church, you know. So we had a huge conference in Paris, and it was amazing to just see how that the anointing of God does not know language barriers.
That's right.
That even people don't even need to understand you properly to experience the anointing that is on your life. Yeah, it was that amazing. And the people were so blessed. And in particular, it was quite interesting to watch how people celebrate and enjoy what we are used to having. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, so much that I was so challenged. And I felt that, no, I need to take a closer at what God has given us. Amen. Let's be serious. Hallelujah. That God has given us a great gift, and we must be careful not to take it for granted. And we must be careful to not allow ourselves to be overtaken by anything that blocks the anointing and prevents people from experiencing the anointing the way they should, which is familiarity. You know, that you get so used to something or so used to having someone or even so used to the person's ministry or so used to the awareness of him being around that it does not mean anything special to you. Do you see what I'm saying? And so that's probably one of the reasons why the message I'm going to share with you this morning is going to be very important. Amen. It's a very simple message, but I want to share it with you because I feel that if you're taught what to do, then you will do the right thing. Amen. And at least you will eliminate the aspect of your failings which are due to ignorance. What do you think? Yeah. Amen. You know why people do the wrong thing. One of them is rebellion. They know the right thing. They just won't do it. The other one is just ignorance. They just don't know what is right. Hallelujah. So when I teach you this, at least we'll filter out ignorance. And then we'll only be left with if we find it. Hallelujah. But I'm assured of great things. I said I'm assured of what? Great things. Amen. Right. Now, next Sunday is a very important Sunday because it's Galatians 6:6 Sunday. Yes. Galatians 6:6 Sunday. And, well, before I come to that, I was telling you, so from Paris, I came back here. Bishop went on. And this morning, he's been having services in Kinshasa, in Congo. Yes. And they sent me a photograph because right after this service, you see, they have a ferry that goes between Kinshasa, that's DRC. Well, I don't even know which is which, but DRC is Kinshasa, right? And then Brazzaville, right? And the ferry closes at 12. Which means by 12 o'clock, you have to have crossed. Yeah. So after preaching all week, last week, and then yesterday, Saturday, we got up, we left the hotel around 5:45 in the morning, and he ran to catch the plane and went all the way and flew, got there late night, and then woke up early this morning, and they had an early service in Kinshasa, and then they crossed the Congo River to go to Brazzaville so they can bring the word of God to the pastors and church leaders in that part also. And I wanted to show you some photographs. Kawi, do you have the photographs? So this is the service in Kinshasa this morning. Can you show us the next one? Yeah, this is the Kinshasa church, right? Yeah. And then this is the team on the ferry, you know, and they're crossing and they're going now to, let's see the next one. Okay, yeah, so that's the Congo River right there. And they're crossing it and they're going over to Brazzaville where they'll be having Give Thyself Holy Conference, I think tomorrow and the next day. And then they will come back to Kinshasa to have Give Self Holy Conference for Wednesday and Thursday, and then they will return to Ghana on Friday so that Give Thyself Holy Conference can begin the following Tuesday. Wow. Is it not amazing? It's amazing, yes. And that's not to mention 23 days of crusading in Zambia, after which they came to Ghana, and then we went to Ghana for that meeting all week last. It was the week before. And then after that, we had Lablam conference on Saturday, and then he came down to do this in Paris, and now he's doing this. So we have an amazing person, you know, someone who genuinely loves the Lord, you know. And what I'm sharing with you must be of interest to you, because you see, the covering you are under determines your whole destiny and future. Do you see what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. See, if your umbrella is good. Do you understand? It's easy to know what your future is regarding wetness or dryness. If the thing you're under is good, we know you'll be okay. But if it has holes in it, then or one of those umbrellas that turn upside down. We cannot guarantee your future. Do you see what I'm saying? So I'm taking my time to share these things with you. Sometimes you don't even know who you're under, what leadership you're under, which also affects commitment. Do you understand? It affects commitment, because the devil is trying all day to get people, you know, to sort of take them outside the covering that God has provided for them. It's to cause them to sort of desert and to abandon the places where God has appointed for them. Do you understand? And the reason is that when you are under there, he has no meat. He has no one to destroy. So he just fills people's minds and clutters their thoughts with all sorts of ideas. Do you understand? But when you know, Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. Do you understand? He was referring, of course, to Christ. But he was just saying that knowing the person you have believed, you understand, brings you to a place in persuasion that it doesn't matter what you hear from any or see from anywhere else. You know you are able to trust and to keep believing. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So that's why I'm sharing these things with you. Amen. Plus, I just thought they were nice photographs.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I should just share them with you. Amen. Amen. So that's what we've been doing this week. And I believe by the grace of God, we will have some even greater times ahead. Amen. God has blessed us. And then yesterday we were at Skid Row. Yesterday we were at Skid Row, and it was so powerful there, right? And I want to invite you to join us when we go on those outreaches, because they're fun. You know, it's a blessed time, and I want to encourage you to join us next time we're doing this. Amen.
Amen.
Right. So I'm going to share with you, like I said, from Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6, 6 Sunday is one of the important dates on our calendar. And this morning I just thought I should read that part of the Bible with you. Amen.
Amen.
So are you interested? Right. So Galatians chapter 6, and I'm reading from let's start from verse 1. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Amen. Amen. So he's saying that if a person is overtaken in a fault, or if someone does something wrong, do you get it? You who are spiritual, or you who has not been overtaken by that fault, you must restore, not condemn. Amen. Amen. Tell somebody, restore.
Restore.
Don't condemn.
Don't.
Hallelujah. He says you must restore such one and do it in the spirit of meekness. Isn't it?
Yeah.
You must be humble, considering yourself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That you yourself, you're above it. Otherwise, he says, lest thou also be tempted, which means you are not above that fault you are yourself. And so God is saying that when people make mistakes, we must help them to come back in humility. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Is it a good verse? Yeah. And notice that people who do that are funded as spiritual people. Do you understand? Spiritual people don't condemn people. They don't give up on people. They don't throw people away because they made a mistake. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Says, if anyone is overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Spiritual people go for restoration.
Amen.
They try to put the person back on his feet. They try to help the person to stand again. Sometimes people we look up to make mistakes. Sometimes pastors, church leaders, people we have grown accustomed to looking up to fall and they make mistakes. And it is the habit of many Christians to throw such people away, to throw stones at them and to draw attention, especially faults, and to forget about anything they ever did right and live as though all that matters is the wrong they have done for that moment. Do you understand?
Oh, yeah.
Now notice how the Bible says the person is overtaking in a fault. It means the person has been running away from it for a while. Do you understand? Yeah, it's just that for some reason the fault came faster than he could get away from it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah, that you need to appreciate that for so many years, the person has served you, the person has been with you, he has preached to you, he has loved you, he has been faithful, has been there for so many years. Do you understand? This one time, he has been overtaken in a fault. Do you understand? He's overtaken in a fault. And the Bible says, if you are spiritual, ask your neighbor, are you spiritual at all? What is? You should demand an answer. Yeah? Yeah. Tell the person, listen carefully. Yeah. Because this is a chapter for spiritual people. Do you understand that? So he said, if somebody is overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual must restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Amen.
Amen.
And then he says, considering myself. Amen.
Amen.
So sometimes there's a lesson in someone's mistake for you.
Right.
Do you understand? There is something you can learn from knowing about someone's fault and how someone came to be in that situation. So the Bible says restore, not embarrass, not throw him away, not publish, not share it on Facebook, not pass it around to WhatsApp groups. Restore, restore, restore. That means put him back together again because he's not destroyed by one fault. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. People can outlive one fault. Do you understand what I'm saying? People can last longer than one fault, no matter what the fault is. Hallelujah. People can do better. Many people who have been overtaken in faults after they are restored to a greater glory. Are you getting what I'm saying? And they do even better. Hallelujah. Yeah. So I want to encourage you not to join the condemners, the ones who condemn and throw people away, but rather because they are unspiritual. Unspiritual. Even though they pose as spiritual, you know, they pose as spiritual, they quote lots of scriptures, you know, and they stand up very firmly and, you know, stoutly speaking against somebody's fault. I mean, you should see people take up whole pages on Facebook and write up about people. People make YouTube videos about people and the mistakes they make. Isn't it? People write up all sorts of things just because someone was taken by fault. But now you know that all they're doing is displaying their lack of spirituality. They have spirituality. They are not mature. Amen. Because spiritual helps to restore the person. Can I have an amen? Amen. Number two, verse two says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Amen. Amen. So the Bible says we must bear one another's burdens. Amen. Amen. There must be some sharing of each other's burdens. Amen. Amen. A good Christian is one who shares in other people's burdens and problems. Amen. Amen. There is nothing like, you know, when I was growing up, they had a saying, cry your own cry. Do you see? Yeah. But in the Lord, we are supposed to share one another's burdens. Amen. Amen. So if you have a problem, that problem is supposed to be my problem too. Do you understand? And if I have a problem, it's supposed to be your problem too. Amen? The Bible says we must bear one another's burdens so that we can fulfill the law of Christ. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, your burden is my burden. Tell them, from today, burden is my burden. Tell them, you can count on me to share your burdens with you. Amen. Burden means things that disturb you, things that bother you, things that are a problem for you, things that weigh heavily on you. You see, then there are some people too who refuse to share their burdens. Yeah. There are some people who insist that they carry their own burdens all by themselves. Even though it is often obvious that you are collapsing under the burden. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. There's some people who insist that the burden is a private burden. Custom made for them. And they must be left alone to carry it. And they don't want to share it with anyone. That is not a good way to live as a Christian. In this world, you cannot escape having burdens and problems from time to time. Amen. And you must learn to share. Amen. Learn to share your burdens. Learn when you share your burden, the burden becomes lighter. Do you know that sometimes when you just share something with someone, even if they didn't give you a solution, it's just relieving to talk about it? How many have experienced that before? Yeah, it's just relieving to talk about it. One day somebody was telling me something. Before she even went on to talk about it, she said, I know you probably won't be able to do anything about this anyway, but I'll tell you. You know? And so she started. As she went on, I knew, yeah, she was right. There's nothing I can do about this except to listen to it. Yeah. Just to share it. Amen. Just to share it. Because a lot of burdens, you know, and sometimes you'd be surprised just talking about something will lead to a breakthrough. Sometimes as you talk about the thing yourself, you find an answer without even the person telling you anything. Do you understand? Yeah. Because talking about things sometimes helps you to think through it. You know, and as you're talking about it, you start to think through it. And as you think through it, you start to realize it wasn't a problem after all. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So please, do not keep your burdens to yourself. Amen. Tell somebody, do not keep your burdens to yourself. Amen. Amen. Don't keep your burdens to yourself. Amen. Amen. There are some people who don't even know what they're going to eat at church. Yeah. I was surprised to find that out one day. That we all come to church and we'll be laughing and, you know, we're all happy. But there's some people who have no dinner. Do you understand? Yeah. Some people who are on their last drop of gas. They don't know if they're going to make it home. There are people who have bills that must be paid within the next 2 days. You know? But by the same token, there are people here who have more than enough food. They have multiple dinners to share. Yeah, and are willing to share. Except they don't know that you need it. Are you what I'm saying? So when you share your burdens, you give people an opportunity to help you. Amen. And this is a church, amen? This is a household of faith, and the Bible encourages us to do good to people, all people, especially people who are in the household of faith, amen? So I want to encourage you, don't be so excessively private. Do you understand? So private, you know, when I was flying, I went to the restroom at the Schiphol airport, and then I go to this little, you know, thing, and I'm doing my thing, you know, and then as I'm just there doing my thing, I just look next to me, here's a lady, yeah, and she's the cleaner, yeah, and she's cleaning the next urinal while I'm using this one next, you know. And I was just thinking, who sets things up this way? Do you get it? Then I started to think that actually maybe that kind of privacy is overrated.
It's overrated.
Yeah. I started to think, you know, it's overrated. Maybe it's not such a big deal after all. Wow. Yeah. Because I didn't run away. Yeah. I just continued to finish off. Finish what I started, right? Yeah. And she was also not scared. She continued to earn her living. Yeah. You know, then I started to see that, you know, even the most private of moments, it's not so private after all. The lady was comfortably working on. And then guy after guy, all of us were in there. And we're all just looking at her. You know, and we all thought, you know, let's be serious. We have more important things to do here than to take notice of this person who is just doing her job. Do you see? Yeah. But then I realized that in that part of the world, it's very common. So I started to see that over here, it's a little overrated. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you so far? Now, the next verse says, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Right? Now, this is introducing us to a kind of deception where the deceiver and deceived are the same person. Do you understand? Where the one who is perpetuating the deception is the same person who is receiving it. Do you get it? And the Bible says, when you start to think of yourself to be something when you are nothing. Wow. You get it? When you start to pack yourself with value you don't have and begin to think of yourself to be someone you're not, then it says you deceive your own self. Verse 4 says, but let every man prove his own work, and then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Right? Okay. So before we're bearing one another's burdens, now everyone should also bear his own burden. Hallelujah. Right. Okay, so I'm not going to go into that because I want to jump to verse 6 and say, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us therefore, it says, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Amen. Amen. Right. So this is Galatians 6:6, and obviously that is the foundation for our Galatians 6:6 celebration that we will be having next week. Amen. Amen. It's about celebrating and sharing with your teacher. It's about honoring the person who teaches you. Amen. Amen. Galatians 6:6 says, let him that is taught, him that is taught. Taught is the past tense of teach, isn't it? So him that is taught in the word means the person has already taught you, isn't it? Then it says, let him communicate unto him that teacheth. That means, teacheth means the person is still teaching, isn't it? So it's describing a relationship with someone who in the past and in the present continues to be your teacher, isn't it? Right. Then he says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Hallelujah. So he's describing a relationship, the way things must be between a person and the person who teaches them, isn't it? Right? He says, and he must communicate. To communicate means to share. You know, it doesn't mean to send him a WhatsApp. It means to share. Amen. Right. And it says to share all good things with the person. Amen. Now, to be able to appreciate the importance of this verse, you need to read the rest of it. So in verse 7 says, be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. So he's saying that, if you like, says, don't joke with God. Do you understand? He says, don't joke with God. That whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Do you understand? Just don't joke with God. In other words, all investments, anything that you do, you sow, he says, they always yield a return. Hallelujah. Amen. So it is important to understand that the way you are treated in life often has a lot to do with how you have also treated people. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. And it is very easy often to think about what people are doing or not doing unto you without thinking about what you are doing or not doing unto others. Does it make sense? Yeah. So this is all in one breath. He's saying verse 6 says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Then the next one is, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, this is a verse that we often use to curse people, you know.
What a shock.
Yeah. Someone breaks your heart and you tell them, listen, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, those are things we say to people who are frustrating us. God is not mocked. You get it? God is not mocked. Yeah, you cheated me. God is not mocked. No, I don't quite get the connection, but you get it? But notice he's talking about the context is how people relate with the person who has been a blessing to them. Do you understand? And he says, if look at the next verse, verse 8. Verse 8 says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Hallelujah. It's almost to say that if you approach things from a carnal or a fleshly angle, then you reap things of the flesh. But if you are spiritual and start to approach things from a spiritual angle, then that starts to change everything. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. That the spiritual thing will yield continuous life. Do you understand? It says, will reap life everlasting. It will yield continuous life if you are spiritual and look at things from a spiritual point of view. Can I have an amen? Amen. And then the next verse, verse 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. You get it? So you can see that the whole thing, he's first of all identifying a teacher and someone he teaches. Then he says that you must have a certain relationship with that person. And that relationship is going to be continuous. Do you understand? So then he has to say this, that if it's a good thing, don't be tired of doing it.
Wow. Mm. Yeah.
Wow. Can you see that? Yeah. If it's a good thing, don't be tired of doing it. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Because he just talked about sowing and reaping. Remember that? Yeah. That whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But now he's explaining how the reaping is affected, you know, by a break in the continuity. Do you understand? So now he says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't be tired of doing the right thing.
Wow. Wow.
If it's the right thing, don't be tired of doing it. Because we shall reap if we don't faint. Are you getting it? Then verse 10 says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Hallelujah. Amen. As we therefore have what? Opportunity, you know. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Amen. Now, this is the verse that explains why we do what we do. Amen. The verse 9 says, we must not be weary or be tired of well-doing. Hallelujah. We are honoring our pastor and honoring our teacher. And somebody says, oh, but we already did that, you know, in May? Yeah. So I think the one who wrote this was just thinking and reading that, you know, some people will start to think that, but we just did that. Do you understand? So he says, explaining that, no, don't be weary in well-doing. If it's the right thing to do, then you must not be tired of doing it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. If it's the right thing, are you clapping or you're not clapping? Because I can preach without you clapping. You know that, right? Yeah. So if you are clapping, then I need to accommodate you. You see. But you need to be clear. So I know whether it's a place to stop or should I continue, because I don't need you to clap, but if you're clapping, I have to sort of be nice to you by allowing you to do it. But the signal has to be clear. Do you understand? Let your yea be yea, and let your nay be nay. So I can just continue. Right. Okay. Do you understand my message at all? Yeah. Are you understanding it? Yeah. So look at it. It's all in that same package. Then he's saying that. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, you know, as we therefore have opportunity. So what it means then is opportunity is what must drive how often you do such a thing. Do you understand? Opportunity to do it is what must drive it. Not that you're doing an event that happens, you know, let's say once a year. It's like somebody saying to you that, let's say I bless you with something. I give you my phone, you know, I bless you with my phone, you get it, and then you say, oh, but it's not Thanksgiving yet, so you won't say thank you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because there's a special season, Thanksgiving, which is Thanksgiving, and we did it last November, you get it. So if I give you this, okay, you receive it, but you wait for next Thanksgiving to say thank you.
You're preaching.
I'm preaching.
Wow.
Does it make sense?
Oh, yeah.
You're supposed to say thanks how often? Every opportunity. And anytime someone gives you something, an opportunity has come for you to say thank you. Wow. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So he's saying in verse 10, as we therefore have opportunity, when you have the opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. Are you getting it? That we must apply this especially in church and to church things. Amen. So we're not celebrating an event for you to say that, oh, but we did it already, or we did it once already. Hallelujah. And you notice how the scripture is trying to establish that this is a relationship. It's an ongoing thing. It's not something that ends. As long as the person remains your teacher, as long as you continue to benefit and you continue to be blessed by his teachings, by his direction, by his books, by his messages, as long as that relationship exists, remember it says, let him that is taught communicate with him that teacheth in all good things. Does it make sense? Hallelujah. And it says, if you are spiritual, you will reap life everlasting. But if you follow the flesh, then you will start to reap corruption. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So this is the reason why we do what we do.
Hallelujah.
That God has blessed us with a fantastic teacher.
Amen.
God has blessed us with someone through whom We have come to know many, many, many things. The other day, I asked Pastor Paul to compile for me all the messages he can find that begin with how to do something. Like how to do something. Just how to do something. He sent me a long list of messages. Do you get it? So as I looked through, I said, wow, we've been taught a lot of things. But it's not over. He continues to teach us. Amen. And as long as he continues to teach us, our obligation continues to remain to share with him in all good things. All good things. As long as you have good things, you're supposed to share them. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is why we bring an offering to be a blessing to him. It's an offering because money is usually the only way we can, you know, neutralize all good things, isn't it? Otherwise, we have to share blouses, we have to share hair pieces, we have to share wigs, we have to share all these things. Can you imagine that? Yeah? You have to share milk, we have to share body lotion, yeah? We have to share what? Boxer shorts, right? We have to share what else? Right? Deodorant, socks, huh? Rice. So all these things. Do you get it? So that is why we give it in the form of an offering. Does it make sense? Yeah, that's why we give it in the form of an offering. You know, and I feel like I have to teach you these things.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, because we don't naturally behave or do the right thing. Isn't it? Yeah. We don't naturally know the right thing. That is why we have to be taught. Amen. That God has ordained. And he says, listen, don't. He says, look, give us verse 7. Give us the verse 7. Yeah. The one we use for cursing people. Do you get it? Yeah. Now, if you really believe this verse so much that you use it to curse someone, then today I want you to use it some other way. Do you understand? Use your faith in this verse to help you. That when you sow or acknowledge or share with your teacher, you are actually sowing something that the Bible says you will reap. And it's as valid as telling someone who broke your heart, you will reap. If you believe the other one, you better believe this one. Do you understand? Yeah. And if I were you, I would believe it this way more because this way benefits me.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Yeah. You don't gain anything if someone breaks the heart of the one who broke your heart. You don't gain anything. Yeah. So believe it this way. Do you understand? Because that will be a greater blessing to you. So let's read the whole thing again. Start reading from verse 6 again, which says, brethren, verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Right? Verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Hallelujah. What's, if you sow acknowledgement, you also reap acknowledgement. Do you understand? If you sow honor, you decide to honor someone, you also reap honor. You, someone will also honor you. You will also be honored in your day and your time. Yeah. And this should be easy to believe because we use it to curse people, I told you. Yeah. Yeah. If you look at the person, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. You know, we tell people that all the time. Yeah. You will surely reap what you have sown. Yeah. Say. Well, I'm not going to mind you. I'm not going to say anything to you. Whatsoever a man soweth, you continue yourself. Amen. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Then he says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Hallelujah. Amen. This kind of sowing is a sowing to the Spirit. Because what you are doing is honoring the grace of God upon the person that makes him your teacher.
That's right.
Are you understanding what I'm saying? You're celebrating the grace of God, the anointing of God on the person that makes him say something that benefits you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And that's a sowing to the Spirit. And the Bible says, from that you will reap life everlasting. Amen. Then verse 9, and let's not be tired of doing it. Amen.
That one.
Amen. Yeah, because I think up by this point, he could start to imagine that some people will start to think, so for how long? Do you understand? So he immediately says, babe, but don't be tired of doing it. Don't be weary. And that's one of the common things you find in life. The people who were doing well before suddenly just slow down or they just sort of backslide out of what they were doing. But he says, when you find something good to do, he says, don't be weary in doing it, because in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
We shall what? Reap if we faint not. If you don't faint, you will reap it. Amen. Amen. And then verse 10. As we therefore have opportunity, as we have the chance, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Are you blessed by that short message? Hallelujah. Amen. Now, before I close, let me just share this other verse with you about some people who chose not to honor the prophet that God had used to bless them. And that's in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Have you found Mark chapter 6? Okay, now let's read from verse 5. Mark chapter 6 and verse 5. Well, maybe we can start from verse 1. Verse 1. It says, and he went out from them and came to his own country, and his disciples follow him. Right? And then verse 2. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Verse 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him, you know. And then verse 4. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. Can you see that? Right? Because he came to his own people. He came to his own people. And then this is how they started to analyze him. Isn't it? They broke all the miracles down to, you know, son of Mary, carpenter, brothers, Judas and Simon, sisters. You get it? I mean, what's so special about this person? Why do we have to make so much fuss about this person? Are you getting it? Yeah. Even though they acknowledged that his preaching was good. So you see, look at it. Verse 2. When the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many were hearing him and were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Then verse 3. Is not this the carpenter? Do you see? Yeah. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph? You get it? And of Judah and Simon. And are not his sisters here with us? They were offended at him. It's like, why do you have to make so much fuss about a person? Are we worshiping him, or what's going on here? But the Bible says in the next verse 4, Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And verse 5, and he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Do you get it? And verse 6 says, and he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. You know, so he basically took his ministry elsewhere. Wow. To a place where people appreciated it. Do you understand? See, and I can share this with you this way, because I have just come from watching other people appreciate the gift that we have and live with every day. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. I've just come from watching French people who cannot speak English gather in their numbers to listen to an English-speaking preacher, of course through an interpreter, but just being there, enjoying the preaching and sitting there. And, you know, I remember during the offering time, they just came and came and came and came and just giving and giving and giving. I mean, they were so blessed by the ministry. I just wondered, when? Are you getting with?
Yeah.
And that's what Jesus did. The verse, because of their unbelief, he went around somewhere else. Now, when you go home today, I'm going to give you some homework. This is the only church that gives homework. And we give it once a year, which is today. Today is homework Sunday.
Yeah.
I want you to go home and read Mark chapter 5. And then read Mark chapter 6. Okay? Next week, we're going to grade your reading, and then we'll give you some certificates for reading it. Okay? All right. But you're going to notice that if you were to draw like a graph to represent Mark chapter 5 and chapter 6, you're going to get something like this. You're going to get something that drops sharply and then rises again. The verses we were just reading in the beginning of chapter 6 is the dipping point. That's where it drops. Because in Mark chapter 5, you see miracle after miracle. In Mark chapter 5, that's where you see the madman, yeah, and then a woman who also had an issue of blood for so many years. That's it. You see all these fantastic people are healed. Then he comes home. When he comes home to his own people, that's where the graph just goes down. Because that's where suddenly all the things that didn't matter in the other places. Yeah, you have to know him to know his mother is Mary. You have to be his colleague to know he has carpentry in his background. Do you understand? Yeah, you have to know him to know his brother is James and Joseph and Simon. And you have to know, and perhaps I've even gone after his sisters to know that he has some two sisters, you know. That's how the whole thing was working out. This is the place where the whole thing's paused. But when he leaves that place and he goes away again, then suddenly the thing starts to rise. You go home today, I want you to plot a graph of the power, the anointing, the miracles. Do you understand? It is from there that he starts to do, from that place he goes, he walks on the sea. He goes on there. He multiplies loaves to feed them. All these fantastic things which these people missed. That's why he says he could dare. Where's verse 5? Bring verse 5 again. Verse 5. He could dare. He could dare do no mighty work.
Wow. Only
this. Not that he didn't do it. He could not do it. And he said he marveled. He was shocked at their unbelief. Do you understand? Because mighty works and miracles, you know, require mutual faith. The faith of the person who's doing it and the faith of the person for whom it's being done. Do you understand? Yeah. And so when he encountered the extent of their unbelief, he was just surprised.
Wow.
He could dare do no mighty work. So he laid hands on a few sick folk, you know, and healed them. And then he marveled at their unbelief in verse 6, right? And decided that let me go somewhere else. Let me take my gift somewhere else. Let me go and preach to some people who value what I am preaching. Let me take my messages to some people who respect it. Some people who are hungry for it. Some people who don't have to be begged to read my books. Some people who don't need exams to read the books.
Mercy on us. That one.
Forgive.
That one.
Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I pray that we will not toy with the gift of God among us. We're so blessed as a church that God would give us a world-renowned teacher and pastor to be our founder and pastor. Amen. We're so blessed. It's like to be born to a star. We're so blessed that he is our father. But let's be careful that we don't make the mistake these people made, which is that the gift was with them and they underestimated the gift. They refused to honor the gift and they did not receive as much as they could have received. Amen. We will honor the gift. I said we will honor the gift. And how often will we do it? As long as we have the opportunity. Every time you have the opportunity. So you know what we did in April is a birthday. A birthday is an opportunity. Every birthday is an opportunity. Just like for all of you, or your birthday is your opportunity. Yeah.
My God.
Isn't it? Even if people don't normally call you or text you on your birthday, they call you and they text you. Isn't it? Everybody gets to experience something unusual. So it's an opportunity. Now, Galatians 6:6 Sunday is another opportunity. Amen. And I hope those are not the only opportunities God gives you. Amen. But if you ever have another opportunity, such as meeting the person, you meet him in person, whatever, those are all opportunities. And the Bible says, not just two, but as often as you have the opportunity, do good. Because you will reap it.
Amen.
Can I have an amen? Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. Amen. Who's blessed today? Right. Now, let's pray and pray for God. Just talk to God and say, Lord, help me to value the gift that you have given to me. Thank you for the blessing of having Bishop Dag as my pastor, as my teacher. Thank you for all the books. Thank you for all the podcasts, the messages, the wisdom, the direction, and the knowledge that you have poured into my life through him. Just say, Lord, help me to value it. Help me not to throw it all away, but rather to value it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Everybody begin to thank God. Let's thank God for giving us such a great man of God for a pastor.
Let's thank God for giving us such a pastor, giving us such a person to lead us and to guide us in our walk here on earth. Thank you, Jesus. We bring the service to a close this morning. Maybe you're here and you know in your heart that you're not born again. You know in your heart that you're not saved, that you're not washed by the blood of Jesus. That if you died today, you don't know if you go to heaven or not. You're not sure about it. But you know, you can be sure. You can be sure about what will happen to you if you died today. And I want to give you that opportunity to be sure. I want to give you that opportunity to give your life to Jesus. I want to give you an opportunity to be washed by the blood of Jesus. An opportunity to be close to God. So if you're here this morning and you want to take advantage of the opportunity, I want you to raise up your right hand quietly. This is an opportunity. It's a chance to be saved. Just raise up your right hand quietly and I'm going to pray with you. If you're watching us on Facebook or on the internet and you want to join us in this prayer, I want you also right where you are, just raise up your right hand just to acknowledge and to include yourself and just join us as we say this prayer together. Just raise up your hand if you want to give your life to Jesus. Is there anybody here like that? You want to give your life to Jesus? God bless you. Anybody else who wants to give your life to Jesus, just raise up your hand. Or you have given your life to Jesus before, but you feel far, you're falling far off that relationship and you want to restore it, this is a prayer also for you. I want you to raise up your right hand and just join in this very important prayer. I'm going to pray for you. Is there anybody here like that today? God bless you. Hallelujah. Let's pray together this prayer. Everybody just pray together. Just say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord. I confess with my mouth God raised you from the dead. Say, come into my heart. Forgive my sins, Lord. Let your blood wash me. Let your blood cleanse me. Say, Lord Jesus, I want to serve you. Deliver me from sin, Lord. Deliver my life from sin, Lord. And help it for you. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. God bless you. Why don't you put your hands together? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, we want to come to the Lord's table before we close. Just bring this to everyone. Just make sure you have one. To me shall never hunger, and that believeth on me shall never thirst. Hallelujah. I want you to know today, as you take communion, it's a cure for hunger. I don't know what you're hungry for today, but Jesus said, he that cometh to me shall never hunger. Hallelujah. You will never hunger. There is nothing that you're going to need that God will not provide. Hallelujah. I want you to see the communion today as a provision from above. Hallelujah. It's an answer from above to all questions and all life's questions and issues in your life. All open-ended questions in your life are receiving an answer. All the questions that have not been answered are receiving an answer. Every difficulty, every challenge, every problem for which you do not have a solution is receiving a solution today in the name of Jesus. Every lack in your life is being provided by God in the name of Jesus. This is a bread of life. It's bread that solves life. It's bread for living. Hallelujah. I want you to take it. Father, we thank you for the bread of life. The bread that makes people live. The bread that gives life. The bread that answers problems and answers questions. The bread that changes lives. The bread that makes a difference. Thank you for the bread. Thank you for life. Thank you for the bread. Thank you for life. Thank you for answers to every dead situation in our lives. Every situation that is tending towards death, oh God, is receiving an answer and a solution today in the name of Jesus.
forms of depression, unhappiness, confusion, anything that takes the life out of us and causes us to be bowed down and causes us to be feeling shameful and causes us to feel ill and to feel unwell, in the name of Jesus, as we eat the bread, we're eating the solution. We're introducing the answer into our lives, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, O God, for your blessing, in Jesus' name. Everybody say, the body of Jesus Christ. You may eat. Now you may take the wine also and say, the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. You may drink. Now lift up your hand for a blessing. Just lift up your hands and begin to thank God. A blessing is coming upon your life. A blessing that will challenge your enemies, the things that are fighting against you. A blessing has entered your life right now to contend with those who contend with you, in the name of Jesus. Receive that blessing now. Receive that blessing now. Receive that blessing now. Receive that blessing right now, in the name of Jesus. People will no longer feel sorry for you, because a blessing will rest upon your life. Whatever makes people feel sorry for you is eliminated from your life today, in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is that makes people look down on you is eliminated in your life today, in the name of Jesus. A blessing has come upon you, and a blessing is resting upon your house and upon your life, in the name of Jesus. As you step forth into this week, you are stepping forth under the shadow of Almighty God. You are stepping forth into the presence of God. Angels will go before you, and angels will go behind you. 1,000 will fall at your right hand side, and 10,000 on your left hand, but none of them will come close to you, in the name of Jesus Christ. No plague will be found in your dwelling place. You are delivered from accidents and every unfortunate circumstance in this coming week, in the name of Jesus. You will be found at the right place this week. You will be found at the right place at the right time. God will remove your feet from the wrong place. Wherever evil is scheduled to happen, you will not be found there, in the name of Jesus. God will provide for you in this week. It's a week of new favors. It's a week of opportunities. It's a week of new doors. God is pouring out his blessing upon you this week. Expect some new favors this week. Expect to see new opportunities this week, in the name of Jesus. Expect to hear good news this week. I said, expect to hear good news this week. Good news is on the way for you, in the name of Jesus. There's somebody who has been expecting something. You've been expecting some reports, some good news. Relax, because your answer is on the way, in the name of Jesus. This is the week of good news. I prophesy that this is the week of good news. This is your week of good news, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you for the blessing of God upon his people. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody says amen. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, a blessing is upon your life this weekend. Hallelujah. Amen.